as immobile as I am because she hurt her foot before she came over here. Which makes sense. We have matching injuries. Johnny's good. Johnny's like ready to get out. So he's going to start planning that. Finally. Because if not, I said I would do something, but I can't say that on a podcast because I'll get in trouble.
Wait, he's getting out?
Yeah, but it's not till like 2025, but still.
Not that far away if you think about it. We're in November.
I know. That is so far away, though. That's not fast enough. But it takes forever to do paperwork and all that other shit, so.
Right.
Donnie's going to graduate college. He's very excited. Oh, my cousin Julio was here, too. He made it for a couple of days.
Iglesias?
Oh, my God. So we went. Okay, so I finally did a private karaoke room with all of them. Oh, my God. First of all, how we didn't all walk out of there immediately deaf because we were scream yelling, scream singing the entire time. And because I specifically looked for a karaoke place that had Spanish songs. So it was perfect. Oh, my God. I don't know how many hours we were in there, but it felt like forever and also felt like not enough. And I felt like we could probably do karaoke every single weekend forever and still not run out of songs to do. It was so much fun. We also got like so incredibly drunk so fast because we hadn't eaten anything in a while. But the good thing was there was a pizza place around the corner. So it was fine. So we went and had pizza afterwards. But it was so much fun. And I want to do karaoke all the time. So when we get together for the Oscars, we have to go do karaoke. Because we could do it at home. And that's also fine. That's also fine too. But
a room and a mic with a huge screen and the food, get out of here.
I know. And like an endless, like they had songs I didn't think they had on there. Oh my God. They had a great selection. And because it was like, I think it was Thursday, there wasn't anyone else really there. Although like those rooms are not the most soundproof. Either that or we're just really loud. Because
y'all are really loud. That's what I think.
You're made to me. But as we were leaving, I saw another girl in there. She just had the room to herself, just like singing at the top of her lungs. And I was like, I love that for you. I'm going to do that. Like, I might do that just because it's so fun just to have a mic and just be like, give me the mic. So it was great. No, that was really fun. I think that was the best. And then Becky's birthday was on Saturday. So we went out to the club. Incredible. I made it. To the club. I did have to go home around like midnight or so because my body was like, okay, girl, we're not that young.
Wow, you actually went to the club? Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
It was great because it was like,
it was really small. Did Dr. Scholes come with you?
Of course he
did. What a good doctor.
What a good doctor.
He's a real one, that doctor.
He really is. I didn't want to take my cane with me because I was like, I don't know how I'm doing.
Oh my God, you have a pimp cane?
Yeah, I do. That's what Johnny was calling it, but I was like, bro, this thing just makes me look 100. But I could hurt someone with it. It can be a weapon if necessary.
Does it fold and put in your purse?
Bitch.
No, it doesn't fold in because my purse. I didn't want to get that one because it didn't, like, the weight limit on that one was not high enough. So I was like, let's not have the same break. So I needed like a full one. Yeah, I have a cane now. Yeah, it was fun. Crystal, you've been to my studio apartment. You can imagine, what was it, 7 of us in here? It was like,
we're all in there?
Yeah, it was like
in one bathroom?
Yeah, girl. I was like, look, I'm putting a lot of faith in this bathroom, but you know, it held up and it was good. You know, 7 Mexicans to 1 studio apartment, it's not that bad. That's actually kind of spacious. So, you know, we were okay.
Man, you try to be like, not stereotypical, but literally.
But literally, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, because like, I mean, we had here and we had Benjamin's place. But even then, like, one of us in the chair, one of us in the bed, one of us on the other side of the bed. Like, I think Johnny slept on the floor at some point. But it was fun. It was fun. When I wasn't at work, it was a lot of fun.
I felt so bad. I had to leave the cats alone for a long period of time.
Oh no, what happened?
So my sister and brother-in-law took their first weekend away from the kids that same weekend. And so me and Tanner's sister were watching the kids, and I forgot it was that same weekend because it had moved a couple of times when they were going to do it. So I went and saw and fed the cats Friday afternoon. And then Friday at like 1 o'clock maybe. And then Saturday went to Hell in a Handbasket. I didn't get out there at all Saturday, and I didn't get back out there until like 6 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh, were they okay?
Were fine. They were absolutely fine. I just felt really bad.
Oh, I'm sure they were okay. I'm sure they were fine. They're pretty good. They're pretty good on their own.
Shake
I feel.
Your head at me.
I feel like. I mean, don't tell Tony that. He's probably not going to listen to this. So hopefully
we won't know. Oh, well, I was constantly in contact with him. I let him know.
No. Okay.
So I would send him pictures every time I left, but.
Yeah, proof of life photos.
Not dead yet.
Hey, I kept telling him.
I kept two cats and two children alive all weekend, so.
Hey.
Fuck yeah.
I kept myself job. Alive, okay? Yay me.
Oh, I yay. Kept myself alive, too.
Congrats, we did it.
Barely. We did it, Joe.
Lo hicimos. We did it.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, friends. This is We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. And right now we are in our Oscar Rewind series. And today we're talking about The Social Network, which we all have because we're social and have networks. The Social Network is, as a Harvard student, Mark Zuckerberg creates the social networking site that would become known as Facebook. He is sued by the twins who claimed he stole their idea, and by his co-founder who was later squeezed out of the business. It has 8 total nominations, including Best Picture, Best Actor for Jesse Eisenberg, Best Directing for David Fincher, Best Adapted Screenplay, Aaron Sorkin, Cinematography, Jeff Cronenworth, Achievement in Film Editing, Angus Wohl and Kirk Baxter, Original Score, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, and Sound Mixing for Ren Kleiss, David Parker, Michael Semniak, and Mark Weingarten. This is The Social Network. Okay, kids, what do we think? Is this everyone's second time or not the first time watching, correct?
Yes, I've seen it correct. Before. Before we start, I have to say that I forgot to mention this last episode, but last episode was our monumental 200th episode.
What?
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. 200 episodes. Well, 200 episodes we've uploaded. I think we've done like a couple that didn't make it. 200 episodes.
Rest in peace, Criminal Minds.
Bow, bow, bow.
200 Yay. Episodes. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I feel God. Like we're just now really getting the hang of it.
200 episodes, 6 years in. Yeah.
We finally got
finally learning how to edit shit.
Oh recording ahead of time, we were like on a schedule-ish, you know. Wow, like look at us. Who would have thought?
Look at us. Who would have thought? Speaking of us, I'm Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
And this is We Have Thoughts. Yay. Yay, yes, we got it. Congrats on 200. Oh my God. We made it.
That's insanity.
That's crazy. And to think this started as us recording on our voice notes on our phones around the dining room table.
I was listening to, I forgot what episode it was, but it's the one where right after Anna deleted one on her phone, and at the beginning is starting all of us like boom, 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 because all our phones on the table, and Anna's like, well, you lose one episode and everyone's just gonna give you shit for the whole time. She's so pissed.
Because I felt so bad.
Oh my god.
I still don't understand how it happened.
The whole time. Oh man.
That was incredible.
I felt really guilty. I felt really bad.
Well, that's why I had two other phones for security reasons. And you're like, you were mad that we were doing that, but like it wasn't like out of malice. It was just like to protect our episode.
It felt like you didn't trust me at all.
No, it's called.
Because I feel like we put in some effort into the Criminal Minds one.
And then
it was gone. I feel like whatever happened there, it was really funny, but I don't remember what it was. So.
I think the funniest thing is that it disappeared.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
But to think, like, this was just like a random episode of television. We've done television. We did Game of Thrones. We did So You Think You Can Dance. Like, we were like, just like.
And we've done over 10 years of Oscars.
That's wild.
What?
2023. We did the 2023 Oscars this year, and we are now in the 2011 Oscars.
Oh my God. Well, all right, cool. Well, we're in it for the long haul now, so.
You know, we can't say we don't do things because literally.
That's like 100 movies.
100 and like 200 movies. Episodes. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? You can't say I'm not committed to something. This is the longest relationship I've ever had. So.
Same. We also podcasted on Project Runaway at one point, too.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
We did a lot of TV because we were all living together watching the same thing.
Yeah, let me cry and remember the times.
Look, maybe we will again.
As we go on, we'll remember.
Yeah, that's good.
All the times we spend together when our lives change, come whatever, we will still be friends forever.
A song came out when I was in junior high.
I was a literal baby.
I'm aware.
Incredible.
All right, let's get into this movie. Social Network.
What did we think 10 plus years later?
I fucking love this movie. It's one of my favorites. No lies.
Oh, really? Like, of all time?
That question is really...
That's a big question, all right.
And I can't ever... Like, my favorite movies, quote-unquote, change, like, every week. Because, like, my top four on Letterboxd, I'm like, oh, I don't like these, so I'll switch them around. Because I can't... I just like too many things.
I refuse to choose.
Well, I'll choose, and I'm like...
Never
have. You don't? Oh, my God. Let me see right now. I need proof. I need proof now. Okay, so it's one of your favorites.
I have on there right now, which will change probably because I don't like the way it looks, is The Wedding Singer. Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yes!
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and Black Swan.
Incredible. First of all,
Too Fast, which is going to change here in a minute because I don't like the way it looks right now.
It's such a good, good movie. The way those two were giving eyes to each other the entire time. Even Johnny, when we watched this, because we rewatched the Fast and the Furious movies together while he was here, he was like, are they?
Did you watch a recent one? Which is Momoa?
No, we still haven't seen it. I need to see it. My mom wanted to watch an action movie, so maybe we'll watch that Sunday or something.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, my movies will change every whatever.
The Social Network, Anna.
I liked it. I really don't remember having major feelings about it the last time I saw it. I mean, I would have been 18 probably. Yeah, I do think this is one of Aaron Sorkin's strongest things he's done.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. so, that opening scene is so brilliant. And it reminds yes. me so much of West Wing cold opens, the what famously become walk and talks, of them walking through the West Wing and having these intense conversations back and forth, and then someone else joining in, and just kind of like the pitter patter of it all. I think that opening scene mimics that a lot, but just the structure of the screenplay I thought was so smart, jumping from what was happening in quote unquote real time, then going back to what was happening at Harvard, and then going to the different depositions as it fit into the story. I just thought was very smart. It wasn't confusing. And it felt very layered in a very smart way. And I appreciated that a lot this time around.
Yeah. It's so genius the way it's put together. And like, it's not, sometimes when there's like a script is like dialogue heavy, it just feels like they're just adding things in for fun. Like they just like, they're compounding everything, but this felt like so deliberate, and it just felt so like natural. It was very like to a time, to a beat, like all the conversations. Yes. And it was, I think, yeah, I definitely do think it's his, I mean, I don't know all of his works, but I would say this is his best work. Especially like script wise, this is genius. That first scene, I think it, Crystal, I think one time we like printed out the scene, right? And then we did it.
Yes. We did it before we recorded an episode, and we each took turns playing the different roles.
Doing the different
people. It was really hard.
Yeah, it was. And it's like, but it's so good because it does feel like, when you talk to someone, it might not be exactly like that, but it has the same intent and the same idea. Especially when you're talking to some fucking asshole like this, like you're like fucking talking to a brick wall and you can't get through. And the Stairmaster, you're talking, if you will. Yeah, literally, it's a fucking workout. So it feels very real, even though it's like structured.
I love the choreography of the dialogue. I love.
That's what it is.
It's just so fantastic. I love how they're talking fast, which I think I understand because I'm used to hearing people talk fast all the time within my family. But I think it's not only is it fast, but they don't sacrifice diction or inflection or different ways to say the words for the speed. You still get the nuance of what they're saying, the attitude. I think it's such a smart way to, if you're not familiar with Aaron Sorkin's work, to jump right in and be like, this is what it is. This is what's happening. The back and forth ping pong of that scene is so good. And it's so well written. And it just like, I think I read somewhere they did like 99 takes of that scene or something.
Shut up.
Because David Fincher's known for like a lot of takes. And yeah. You know, I mean, that's a lot, but I kind of get it because it's choreography. You have to get it right.
Yeah.
It has to be just so. Like if Jesse Eisenberg can't be off a little bit or else Rooney Mara's not going to get it. Like they have to be able to dance together just right for it to work. And then they have to make it look like it's not work.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Like Rooney Mara, Jesse Eisenberg, David Fincher, everybody involved in that. I feel like everyone is at the top of their game in this film. The acting, the writing, the score, the production value, the color palette.
Oh, yeah.
It was just so top-notch. Top-notch.
That's one of those things, like, when I was watching the scene, I was like, okay, so this is why Rooney Mara's famous. Like, this is, like, her, where she's good, where she shines. Because there's some things, like, it just doesn't fit for her. I don't know why they cast her. But this is one of those things that, like, it makes sense. I think that she, she's not like a full-on character actor, so she can't do, I don't know if she can, but she just like hasn't, or, you know, doesn't work really well and stuff like that. But this is more like naturalistic to where it like it fits for her. And she did such a good job holding her own in that like argument, where it felt like equal. It didn't feel like either one of them was like holding back or pulling any punches. Like they were both like going for it full on.
Was this the first time for both of you seeing Armie Hammer post Cannibal Gate.
No, because you and I watched that documentary, Anna.
But I mean, like, in a movie.
Oh, I think so, maybe?
I think that we watched...
Oh, no, I rewatched Man from U.N.C.L.E., like, a little bit ago.
And we've also rewatched Man from U.N.C.L.E. together, but I think the time that we watched it together, we fast-forwarded through a lot of his stuff.
Well, I watched it, but it was on and I wasn't really watching, so I was hearing him, but I wasn't looking at him, so not really. But I came back for that sandwich scene, you better believe it. let me sit down.
Which, okay, like, I think I wrote it in my notes. Mm-hmm. Every single douchebaggy person in this movie, so, like, Mark Zuckerberg, the twins, fucking Justin Timberlake, were all perfectly casted because they're all, like, ridiculous assholes. Like, they are the worst people in the world. They make my skin crawl. I'm looking at them on my screen right now and I want to throw up because, like, they're so just, like, gross and disgusting and, like, sexist and entitled and just, like, pieces of shit. And, like, they're selling it. The script is selling it. Like, they're really selling it hard. But also, I feel like with him, it doesn't take that much selling because that's just kind of how he comes off. Like, he's born a rich kid. Like, it's not that far off from what he's playing here. But I feel like the acting from those three, aided by, like, the script was, and the direction. I mean, I'm sure David Fincher was, like, very specific about what he wanted.
Oh, yeah.
It just really, like, pushed the envelope. Because I think back then I was like, oh my God, these are horrible people. But I think now, in the context of now, not even just with, like, Armie Hammer, but with Jesse Eisenberg and with Justin Timberlake, I'm like, I literally want to, like, I can't, like, you're so horrible. Like, I'm crawling out of my skin just having to watch you because you're doing such a good job at being a terrible person. Like, you're like, selling it. And it's awful. It's awful to watch, but it's, like, entertaining at the same time. Like, I can't look away. It's, like, a horrible, horrible crash.
So I know why Justin Timberlake and Armie Hammer are terrible, but what did Jesse Eisenberg do? Did I miss that?
He's a dick.
He's really? Just, like, I've seen a lot of interviews and a lot of, like, critiques of interviews of his where he's just, like, really, like passive-aggressive and, like, condescending, much like his character. And this is, like, way past, like, this time. I know there was one interview that kept going around. I don't think he's done anything.
I just saw it again, like, yeah, 2 weeks ago.
I don't think he's done anything to the severity of, like, Justin Timberlake or Armie Hammer. But I just don't think, like, he's, like, a pleasant person to be around from, like, anyone that's, like, from feedback that I've heard from people that have had to interview him or work with him. It's just not, like, the best.
I've also heard Dakota Johnson mention, like, he wouldn't even look at me or talk to me on set. And
Dakota Johnson?
Yeah, because she was in
the movie. She was in this movie.
She's the Stanford girl. Oh, but she didn't have a scene with Jesse Eisenberg, did she?
No, but he could still say hello to her if he sees her on set. But there's that one interview in particular where the woman is trying to, like, you know, trying to make it more fun than the typical press junket interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he just keeps berating her and, like, he's, like, trying to get out of there. And he keeps telling her how much he wants to not be there and be in that room with her and how he just wants it to end. And it's really awkward. And she's just trying to keep it going, keep it together.
Right, because she's, like, she's a journalist. She's just, like, she's just doing her job. And if you're miserable and don't want to be there, like, don't blame it on the person who's trying to do their job, you know? Just, yeah, like, professional courtesy. You don't have to be over-exuberant and, like, super enjoyable, but just, like, don't be an asshole. Like, it's not that hard. Or is it? I guess it is.
Yeah, it was for Now You See Me, one of those movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's really gross.
That movie's pretty good, actually.
That movie is surprisingly good. The first one. It was enjoyable.
I've seen it once.
That's enough.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to look back on this movie and today, now that we have, I don't know, the whole time I was watching it, I just kept thinking, wow, Mark Zuckerberg is an incel. Mm-hmm. Like, he literally did all of this because a girl rejected him.
Right.
And it was the whole hot or not thing is disgusting. But just like, even at the end of the film, it all came back to her. And he was asking, who did he ask? He asked Justin Timberlake, like, do you ever think about the girl? He was like, no. And that's all like the motivation for all of it.
And apparently that's fabricated. Mark Zuckerberg said that he never he married the same girl he dated in college. And so like, that was not the blah, 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 blah. It's just fabricated. And I didn't know that he had like a screenings for this movie at Facebook.
He did. Shut
yes!
up.
That's so embarrassing.
I would not do that.
Look at how much of an asshole I am.
He thought it was funny. He thought like, yeah, like they got a lot. He's like, they got a lot wrong, but they got my wardrobe perfect. And so like he saw it as like a tongue in cheek. But I wonder how the
staff
felt like, I can't laugh at this because that's my boss. Like, how do I? But I just think it's what. Like, I don't even know.
I think he missed the joke. I don't.
Yeah, clearly.
Like, it's not. But also, I feel like this is not like. For as like technically intelligent as he is, I think he's just like really stupid when it comes to like the social yeah. of it all.
That's pretty common in very intelligent people though, is they don't really have a lot
I
of
have a, yeah, I have a feeling he's probably on the spectrum. There was just a lot of tendencies and a lot of things that made me feel like he's so high functioning that it was never like an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet if they were to dig further into like the wardrobe choices, and things like that, he would probably have been diagnosed on the spectrum if he hasn't been already.
Yeah.
Just my thought.
Yeah. Even then, like he, like, because I think if we go to his friendship, his quote-unquote friendship, slash, you know, his using of, like, Eduardo, like, he never reciprocates the friendship with the same sort of depth. Like, it's always very just like, oh, he's around and we're hanging out. It's never like, oh, we're like friends and like we care about each other and I'm looking out for you. It's just like, it just feels very surface level. It feels more like this is an acquaintance and I'm just like going to use my acquaintance for what I need from what my needs are. And I think that he's so selfish and so self-centered that he can't think of other people. He can only think about himself. And it's not surprising that he ends up doing what he does to him, to his, like, one friend, essentially. But Eduardo's the kind of person that, like, really, just really wants a friend and, like, is going to stick around no matter, like, how bad he treats him. That it just, like, blows up in his face later on.
Well, I think to Mark, that is a friendship. Because he says, that was my best friend. Like, he doesn't see it as, like, using him or transactional relationship. It's like, oh, that's my friend, the person who serves me, basically. That's just what he thinks relationships are, but pretty much. I mean, he's so like Anna said, like kind of like self-involved in his own little brain.
I don't think he's ever had anybody stick around long enough to like actually be a friend to him. So when Eduardo kept sticking around, it was like, oh, every relationship I've had has been transactional. Like, my parents raised me. And that can be quite transactional if, you know, you take the emotion out of it. My teachers teach me. That's transactional. Everything can be transactional. And so if friendships for him were probably that way. This is a lot of speculation, by the way, because this is a real person.
Well, I think it's important to distinction that we're talking about Mark Zuckerberg, the character
mm-hmm.
and not the
person. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We're talking. Yeah. So Mark, the character is definitely, yeah, like you said, very, you know, relationships are transactional. That's what it is to him.
So when he kept sticking around, I was like, oh, I get to take more and take more and take more because that's what I know.
And then because Eduardo is such a well-assuming person and a nice guy, he's gonna hang around because he clearly sees that he needs a friend, and he's like, oh, I want to be in on this because you're smart and I like to be around smart people. And it just, it was just, you know, because even the Winklevosses and, oh my God, what is his name? Divya is his name. Divya and the Winklevoss twins. They even want something out from Mark. It's all transactional. So it's like, Eduardo was his only friend. And he didn't know how to handle it. He didn't know how to be a friend. Because to him, he doesn't know what that is.
Yeah.
Watching it this time, I completely forgot how things ended with Justin Timberlake. Completely forgot about that.
Oh my God, me too. That was a surprise.
You know what's funny is, I know this is like at the end of the movie, but like he's talking to the girls about like, yeah, so it's going to be a website where like you share pictures. I'm like, he's talking about Instagram. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That's crazy. I found a fun fact. I found, where is it? Sorry. My notes are not that organized. Oh, okay. So this movie was released on October 1st, 2010. And Instagram, which Facebook now owns, launched on October 6th, 2010. So were y'all, when do you remember joining Facebook first?
Years ago, in high school.
For me, it was probably 08, 09, because I didn't join until I was in high school, a freshman. I had just started going to the theater that I did throughout high school. I would go to this place, and the friends I met there were all like, oh yeah, we're on Facebook. And I was still just purely MySpace. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll get on there. And I joined.
Yeah, I only did it because my friends did it.
Same. Yeah, I remember it being only colleges because I had a friend, a neighbor who was my classmate, who her sister was in college, and she was on it. And her talking about it. And I was like, this looks weird. But like I looked, so Facebook opened up to like anyone under the age of 13 in September of 06, right? And I looked up my first day on Facebook because I was curious. December 15th is the same year.
Oh my God.
So I remember at the time people were like, get on Facebook, blah, 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 blah. And I was already out of high school by this point, so like just my friends and, you know, MySpace and Zynga were really popular when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And so even then, I had joined a couple of months after it launched, and people were already like, where have you been? Finally, you're on Facebook. Oh my gosh, you're finally here. And I'm like, at the time, I was like, oh my God, I'm late. But really, it was only a couple of months later.
Yeah. Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah. And then also, they were giving MySpace shit, but MySpace Tom would never do this to a friend. Let me just tell you right now.
He was a friend to everyone. He would
never.
Mm-mm. Also, MySpace was so good and it was so fun because like you could customize so much, and Facebook is just like, it's blue and white, congrats. Like it's that all the fun was sucked out of it, all the personalization was taken out, like it was just so boring. And I was like, I left MySpace for this, like that's it. Like,
and also like some of the pressure was taken away too.
Yeah,
I didn't have to have a cute...
What do you think about that?
I didn't have to have a super cute looking page. I didn't have to think about who my top eight was and worry about who I was going to piss off if I moved someone.
Oh, yeah.
So there was pros and cons.
Yeah. And it would make sense for Mark as a person because he's very like tactile street. It's got to be this and this and nothing.
Right. Because if his friends had MySpace and had like top eights and stuff, he would never be on there, obviously.
But I do miss the bulletin. I liked the bulletin aspect of MySpace.
Yeah. I think that's
those were like your posts, I guess, but
yeah. But it was more like it felt kind of like it had like a blogging sort of thing to it rather than just like a one sentence like post or like a two sentence post. It was like an actual like blog. Which,
in this movie, didn't Mark Zuckerberg kind of invent Twitter as he was live blogging his creation of Face Mash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Also, what I think is cool about MySpace is I learned about HTML. I didn't even know what that was.
Right? Really? I could code.
Like, I could totally code. Like, I changed colors and, like, sizes and fonts and stuff. Like, I was like way into that. Like yeah.
I went to the school of MySpace for coding. Okay.
Seriously, we were so educated.
I took a little summer class at a camp, but other than that, I learned how to code on Facebook. Facebook, anyway.
I think it's funny.
MySpace. God damn.
I think it's funny how this entire time, or most of the movie, Mark is like, you know, we can't do that. Like, ads on Facebook would be so lame. And I was laughing because I was like, Facebook is nothing but ads now.
It literally. It's like ad revenue.
Hilarious.
Ridiculous.
Also, who's even on MySpace still? Like, grandmas? Come on now. Nobody even cares about that site anymore.
I tried to get back on there just because I know there's, like, a ton of old photos on there that I don't have anywhere else. But it's like impossible to unlock now, so I can't get back in there.
I mean, I still have the actual Facebook page, but I never go on there because like it's just so toxic and gross, and I just like, it's so convoluted. I think I went up to look for my day that I joined, and I was like, this is so much. Like the page is so like stuffed with things.
Ads.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, I think I remember scrolling. I'm like, I don't even know who these people are because it's suggesting people that I might know, and I'm like, I don't. What about the people that actually follow, which aren't even who they are anymore? But, yeah, I just think, like, Facebook has fallen off so much. And it's so synonymous with, like, the older crowd now. Because just keep saying in the movie, like, it's got to be cool. We're cool. That's what we have. We got to stay cool.
Exclusive. Thinking,
like,
yeah.
Exclusive. Like, babe, no. Not anymore, honey.
No.
No, no. Not anymore. So did you notice that this was executive produced by Kevin Spacey?
I did see that. And also, what's his name? The musical theater producer who also got Me Too'd.
Scott Rudin. I did see that.
I saw that too. Yeah. It was both of them.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. Yikes.
So how do you feel about the love of our lives? Well, not the love of our lives, but we do like him. Andrew Garfield playing a Brazilian man. How do you feel about that?
So that's not right. That's just a fact. It's just not right. I think he did a great job of it. If I separate the art from the TARDIS, yeah, he's great. The tar from the TARDIS. I'm sorry.
I was like, the art from the TARDIS. You said TARDIS, and I thought like Doctor Who, and I was like, this is not
same.
Even though he was
going, ooh, wee, ooh.
Right, Andrew Garfield.
Wibbly wobbly, tommy wimey, huh?
Andrew Garfield wasn't in Doctor Who, right? Like one episode or something.
He did the Daleks in Manhattan, that awful 1920s one where they have the...
Did I watch that?
I believe. Yeah, because it's...
I don't remember.
Hold on. I'm going to look it up because it's
important to me. Is it David Tennant?
I think it might be... I don't want to get this wrong. Hold on. I think it might be Christopher Eccleston. I think it's...
Oh, that was the one.
I think it's the one where they're living in Central Park before when it was like still Tenant.
Hold on. You mean when it was Seneca Village?
Seneca Village. Yes. Yeah, that's what it was.
This is where I first fell in love with Andrew Garfield. I was smitten from the jump.
Really?
Oh, I was like, this guy, he's going places. I love
this guy. Okay.
It is David Tennant.
Okay.
It's David and Martha, the Doctor and Martha, sorry. They travel to New York in 1930, where people have been mysteriously vanishing from the streets and an old enemy resurfaces. It's the Daleks.
I remember, but not really.
I was vaguely remember that. That was a long time ago. I vaguely remember that. That was so long ago. That was literally so long ago.
But yeah, him playing Brazilian is not the best, but I love him. Anyway,
he's so endearing,
he's so cute,
and like I think even though he's not Brazilian, I think he's a good contrast to like how douchey everyone else is, because even though like sure he might have some self-interest in wanting to do things his way, it's not as like fucked as like everybody else trying to do things their way, you know. He comes off looking much better than like Justin Timberlake or Armie Hammer or the other one, Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, yeah, because he was betrayed. He was the victim.
Yeah, and I think even before the big betrayal, like I feel like along the way, he's the only one with like some semblance of a level head. And like everybody else is just like all guns blazing with like no care in the world of like who they leave behind. But no, Andrew Garfield's great. We love Andrew Garfield.
I mean, honestly, if I think about any of them, Mark Zuckerberg, Eduardo Saverin, the Winklevoss twins, even, I always get his name wrong.
Napster guy.
Divya, Sean Parker.
Oh, okay.
They're literally all millionaires, so, like, fuck all of them, really?
Right. Like, so, I can't be empathetic to you.
I think it's interesting. Yeah, exactly. Like, when it comes down to it, I understand, I think it was smart to focus on, well, that's all they focus on because it's what happened, but having the betrayal being the main part, the climax of the film is really smart because betrayal is universal. And I think the way that scene is structured is so good because he's reading off like what was Mark Zuckerberg's share alluded to? Yeah. What was his alluded to? What was your alluded to? And then you hit and it's like, oh man, like it's so well structured. And that's it, just, oh my God. Like
it is. It builds the drama so well without feeling like it's taking forever. Everything, and I think that's more the work of the editing too. Editing in this, no matter like how many cuts it has, because there's so many different cuts in every single scene, it feels very sharp and still very smooth at the same time. Like they chopped a scene up into like 1,000 different pieces, but it still feels smooth and it still feels cohesive.
Yeah, and it's riveting. Like if you feel the tension, partly because the score does a really good job of building that.
Yes.
Like, it just feels like why am I getting so invested in a stupid movie about Facebook? Like, that's fantastic. Amazing. It just proved that no matter what the subject is, if it's well written, well directed, it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
So I looked up, I wanted to see a picture of the real Eduardo. He denounced his, sorry, I forgot how words work.
Mm-hmm.
He denounced his U.S. citizenship in September of 2011. And by doing that, he avoided an estimated $700 million capital gains taxes.
Oh.
But he said it's because he's interested in working and living in Singapore, where his wife is from. So now he lives in Singapore.
Dang.
So yeah, his share has been diluted from 34.4% to 0.3%. Whatever. He's fine.
That's insane. As of October 2023, his net worth was $10.8 billion, making him the 102nd richest person in the world.
Bruh.
I looked up, so at the very end, they have like the end cards, whatever. And it says like Mark Zuckerberg at the time was the youngest billionaire. And I looked up who the youngest billionaire is. And it's some Nepo baby for Red Bull. Like his dad owns Red Bull and he is in turn the youngest millionaire because of that.
Gross.
Fuck Red Bull.
Red Bull to me smells like pee. How do people drink it? It's disgusting. It smells like literal urine. No.
I think of Red Bull and I think of F1 and I think of Max Verstappen and Christian Horner and I just want
to. I think of Red Bull and I think of drinking a lot of Red Bull vodkas when I was in college.
Fuck Red Bull.
We're all different here.
Girl, I don't know what I was drinking. I just knew it was cheap and it kept me awake.
It kept me awake.
Go piss, girl.
Go piss, girl. I can't.
Go ahead.
Brenda Song deserves to be
Disney Channel.
Deserves to be in everything. Brenda Song, along with like Raven and and Hilary Duff back then, were like the it girls of Disney Channel. And I'm so mad that I haven't seen her in more stuff because she's so great. Comedically, she's so good. Her comedic timing is so good. She has great presence. Like, I want to see her in more stuff because she's just so good. Like, I am so mad that, like, Hollywood let me down, of course, and couldn't give a role to a woman of color. And now she's not in everything. but I want to see her in stuff. Like, she'd be great on, like, she would have been great in, like, Superstore or, like, Abbott Elementary or, like, a cute little sitcom like that. Give her something.
I think she's a mom now and taking a break, which, fair, because she's been working since she was, like, a fetus, probably.
Right.
But she had some show on Hulu that I didn't watch. I heard it was really good. But I think my only problem, like, this movie to me is almost perfect, one of my faves. But one thing I hate about, or I didn't really like, is that they made Brenda Song's character unnecessarily crazy. Like, I understand that she is who introduces Sean Parker to Mark and Eduardo. I understand that mm-hmm. connection there. But then they make her, like, really jealous, and she, like, burns that present he gave her. Mm-hmm. I was like, is this really necessary to the story of... Not really. So that was annoying. Maybe it was like for dramatic effect, but I think you're just making her crazy for no reason, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
That's my, I think it's my only critique of the whole movie. Is that.
That's fair.
Yeah, fair. Although that scene was edited really well. When he's on the phone with Mark and then she's there in the apartment, it was just like, this is one of those movies where I'm like, oh my God, editing, like this, yeah. like this is, like, sometimes editing is so good that, like, you don't notice it at all, but sometimes editing, you notice it because that's what it's supposed to be, and, like, this is one of those, and it's so good because it matches the pace of the dialogue, yeah. and it's kind of going with the dialogue. It's on the same rhythm, and so it's so good.
It's kind of like Everything Ever All at Once, where it feels like a lot of pieces, and they do a really good job of piecing them together and making it feel not confusing, not jumbled, but a cohesive film. That's talent to me. That's so
right.
Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah, Fincher and Sorkin made a good team.
Mm-hmm. They need to work together. They need to team up again. They're fantastic together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I really didn't care for Chicago 7 or what the fuck that movie was called. I forgot. Aaron Sorkin writing, directing, who knows? But I just think, like, those two together, they just really get each other's vibe. I need them to work together again, please. Please, please, please.
Yeah, because I think, like, Aaron Sorkin trying to direct something that he wrote, he's not far enough removed from it that it's going to be successful. I think he's, like, too involved. It's also, like, the same thing, like, when you're like, you know, screenwriter is, like, your partner or whatever, sometimes you're two together, like, two on it. Yeah, he needs someone else to take the reins on that so he can really focus on his script, on his writing, on what that is.
And I read that he wrote the script before the book that this based on was even published.
Really?
Yeah, he, like,
probably got like an arc.
Well, yeah, he did, but, like, he was just like, here's the points of it. This is the story. These are these people. Go off, basically. So that's why a lot of the things that, because, you know, Mark Zuckerberg says this didn't happen. Well, yeah, because Aaron was adding things to it to make it a story, to make it a narrative. But the basis of the depositions were there, you know, everything like that. But yeah, it's like just his brain. Like, how do you brain? I don't know how to do that.
That's like galaxy brain.
Yeah.
For him as a director, I think he writes very complicated, and he's just not a practiced enough director to do it artfully.
Yeah. Yeah. He needs somebody else that's a really, truly honed in expert on that to take the reins so that he can focus on what he's best at and be able to articulate that in the best way that he can.
Yeah. Also, I think it's really great of those two to, because I know sometimes when you write something and then you feel it's yours, it's hard to let it go, to let someone else take it on and put their spin on it or whatever. But I think credit to David and Aaron for being able to just kind of say, I trust you, let's do this together.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, he writes so, like, they're so distinctive in their styles.
Yeah.
That they were determined to make it work. And it just makes a great movie.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of those other things that is so super successful in this is the score. I think that it hit exactly the right notes and the right tone, because it feels like haunting loneliness in a digital age. Like, it's just like when you think of that, this is the sound that you hear. Like, it's so, like, it's so lonely, and it makes you feel so, like, isolated, but it also feels like, ooh, the dawn of social media. Like, it, they did such a good job in that.
Yeah,
it's spot on. The way the writing is spot on and the directing is spot on, the score is perfect.
Again, like I said earlier, like, everyone is at the top of their game in this regard. Like, the score is so beautiful because the piano on top of this, like, heavy, like, EDM beat is fantastic, because the EDM part, the big bass, is kind of giving you the essence of what the movie is, and the piano is kind of maybe showing Mark's internal, like, worry of this whole situation, him getting sued, him not having any friends, blah, 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 missing the girl situation. Like, it's like piano with a beautiful piano with a hint of fear of what's going to happen. I think that's really beautiful. Also, this is the first score that Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross did together. They did some separately, but this is their first together.
Oh.
And Nine Inch Nails are a great band, if you don't listen to them, you should. But this has been one of my favorite scores since it came out. Like, I remember being so blown away by it that I, like, looked up the score, like, immediately after I watched the movie. Because, like, this is just, like, my brain blew up. I just couldn't get over it.
It's such a journey, too, because, like, it's always there. I feel like it's never not there in the film. Like, it's always, like, in the back of your, it just sounds like it's in the back of your head, just, like, still, like, whispering, like, still going. Even in, like, scenes where there's so much other things going on, it's still there. That's like a buzzing in your ear. It's very, very effective.
It's to keep you alert, you know?
Yeah, keep you on your toes.
Yeah. Yeah, much just like, it doesn't let up, much like the script and the directing. But then it has a soft piano on top to make it easy to digest, make it feel homey, because they're in New England, so it gives you, like, they start in fall of 2003, so the color palette will give you the beautiful colors of fall and in New England and college and all that, and then the score does the same thing with the piano on top. It's so simple, too, like, the score isn't too complicated, but it's just the right amount of what it needs to fit perfectly into the puzzle that is this movie. Like,
yeah.
I just about to say, all of the pieces of this film fit together so perfectly that, yeah, it's a good one.
Also, this movie is really funny. I was laughing sometimes. Like, there's that scene where Mark's, like, telling him about the plan for, you know, the Facebook. And they're outside. Oh, because it's outside the party, the Hawaiian party or whatever.
Yeah, the Caribbean party.
And there you go. And so they're outside and it's cold. And Eduardo's like, oh, I can't feel my legs. And he's like, Mark's like, yeah, I know. I'm totally psyched about this too. I just thought that was so funny. It's like, this is a movie's a comedy.
It is a comedy.
Also, the whole scene with the president when the twins go and talk to him is hilarious. Oh my God. To me.
Comedy gold.
So I was laughing my ass off when he's like, and punch me in the face. Like, just so matter-of-factly. And he's like, they say something, he's like, I'm devastated by that. Like, he's just, it was giving Captain Holt to me.
Yes.
It was so funny. But I like how he calls him and he's like, you don't get special treatment? Yeah, you do. Like, you think you just walk into my office and have a meeting because you row for the college? Like, fuck you. Like, I love that scene because he's just like, make another idea. Get over it. Next.
Also, I loved all the moments where the other twin was wearing, like, the sunglasses and the bandana. Like, that's not the double.
Yeah.
That's probably another thing that hold up is the CGI on the twins. There's a couple times where they're rowing and I'm like, oh, that's
not him.
His face looks like when you're on the filters and the one doesn't fit in the back. That's kind of, the filter doesn't match.
Oh my god.
I really like the scene in the club with Mark and Sean and how it's just loud enough to where you can't really hear what they're saying. And I remember watching it I didn't see this in the theaters, but I remember, like, so renting it or something. And I remember, like, leaning forward, like, it promotes a sensation of, like, I really have to know what they're saying, mainly because I can't hear, but also because you feel what it's like to be in that club. So I think to have it just a little bit too loud does a really good job of creating a sense of let me pay attention to this. Like, I can't just sit back and relax. Like, it commands your attention, but not in an exaggerated way. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Sound mixing. Shout out to sound mixing. I can see why it was nominated.
Yes.
You know what? Okay. So the one critique, I guess, that I have for this, is that it was nominated for cinematography. And I don't have a shot list necessarily for this, but I think that it's just cinematography in a different way. Like, it's not in the traditional way I would think of cinematography. It's like, I don't know, cinematography that fits in with this kind of film. Because it wasn't like, it was more so about the, like, the blocking and the positioning of people versus, like, the overall structure or, like, the landscape of it. Or, like, it was more the, like, arrangement of people. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, like, seeing it, like, I see very much how the lighting informs the scene and the lighting informs the, like, overall mood of the what's happening. But I can't think of, like, specifically. I'm not seeing it 100%.
I think also the lighting and the color story are really the highlights of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's, I mean, I don't know how the cinematographers vote, but I think maybe that's what they're looking at. The color story, the color palette, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. in order for cinematography. Mm-hmm. Because it's not, when you think cinematography, you don't think this movie right away.
Yeah.
Because there's not like, how a movie has like a shot. It's the shot. But this doesn't really have that. Maybe because it's in a lot of rooms, a lot of offices. But I think it's, I lost my thought. I'm sorry.
No, ahead. I think is the more I look at it, because I also have it playing in the background. I think it is more like the lighting structure of everything. Because, like, even the scene where he's talking to Dakota Johnson in the room, like, there's like the light is coming from like a couple of different places where it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense.
Yeah.
So interesting. Interesting. Also, like, how do you light, like, your computer screen? That's always so hard to capture on film. Like, for the computer screen to be as lit as, like, the rest of the environment. And also, like, for the lighting from the computer screen to reflect on Mark Zuckerberg's face enough to still illuminate a bit of the room. And so, like, lighting-wise, I understand. Lighting and color-wise, I understand. It's just more focused on... It's more focused on that than,
lighting and color, like, is under the umbrella of cinematography, then.
I think so. I think it's more that versus like the photo structure of the shot.
Okay. I wish I knew a cinematographer to start asking questions. I would have so many questions. Just in general.
Ask Iris. Iris is a cinematographer. Iris took cinematography.
We should have her on the podcast.
Oh my God, shut up. It would be so great.
Oh my God, a guest.
Oh my God, a guest speaker. That would be so cool.
We should ask her. What movie she wants to talk about.
Yeah.
Ask an expert.
More than me.
I mean, she did. So, like, back when we were in school, she, one of the classes, because she was a film major, obviously. One of the classes that they offered was cinematography. Mm-hmm. And I was going to take it with her, but I couldn't take it that semester or something happened and I couldn't take it. I don't know what the prereqs for that were. And I was so pissed because I was like, man, we would have been so good in this class. But she took it and she's obviously really good at it because her photography skills are great.
So I haven't seen the scene. But see, they don't have a shot, but they have a scene.
They have a scene.
Long time.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, this is so good. Like, everyone's firing all cylinders. Like
it's just,
you better lawyer up, asshole. Like, so many great quotes in that.
I'm sorry. My Prada's at the cleaners.
My what did you say? Susan Clears along with my fuck you flip flops or whatever.
Yes.
That whole scene.
The whole scene, yeah, I also hadn't seen that scene since I first saw this movie. And I was like, oh, the buildup to it was so good. Like, the tension was there. And then just, like, the release of everything. It was delicious.
We don't see the lawyer telling him, Eduardo, that. We just have where the camera's outside of the room. And I think that was so smart. Because we don't know what happens until he comes out. Fantastic. And then Sean Parker's are just like, oh, he's fired in. Like, yeah, I just think, like, I think we talked about this 2 episodes ago, maybe, how Justin Timberlake is not a great actor.
He's not.
He's actually very terrible. But he was only really, he was only good in this because he's an asshole in real life. Yeah. And I thought that when I watched the movie originally. So he's just kind of a little bit of an asshole, and now we know he's more. So, like, you play best what you are when you don't have any skills. So, in that sense, he did a good job.
Also, I feel like it's, you have good writing, it's harder to fuck up.
That's very. Also, I think the fact that he is a singer, he understands the cadence of the words. He was able to get the rhythm and the choreography, all that. So that helped him. But I think it's so, this movie is brilliantly cast. The fact that they're going to cast Justin Timberlake, who is part of NSYNC, one of the biggest boy bands in the world, as the inventor of Napster, who, like, that shit is so, it's so, mwah, it's fantastic.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah, chef's kiss, for real. Yeah, I think that was great.
That was, I don't think I've ever, like, through the course of this movie, I don't ever think I've, like, wanted to be, I can't remember a recent movie where I wanted to get so violent with so many men at the same time. I was just, like, my violent instincts, like, took over, and I was like, I just want to punch this man in the face so hard. Like, first of all, this bitch is raiding women and wrote all that shit on his blog about his ex-girlfriend. Plus, the twins are idiots, and I hate them, and they're rich. And even though the president of the school is not going to give them anything, they're going to get everything they want in their life. Plus, Mark Zuckerberg's a bitch. So, and then
he is a bitch. He's a messy bitch.
He's a messy-ass bitch. He really doesn't care who he screws over. And I get it. That's how you get to the top. But also, you're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit. You hate women. You're trash. You're trash. And then, oh my God, the Justin Timberlake of it all. I literally, he's like so slimy and so gross in this. I just literally want to punch his face. And then knowing what I know now about in real life, like, I just want to punch him more. Like, I knew I never liked this bitch for a reason. I knew I was, I knew it. I knew it. It was instinctual.
Ugh. So this is my favorite David Fincher directed film, but Joy, is it yours?
No.
At first I was like, why is that only pointed to her? But I get it.
Obviously, as a woman prone to violence, this is not my favorite film.
The movie is also good, but this one to me is my favorite David Fincher directed film for sure.
I mean, you know what? Like, in general, I was blown away by it when I originally saw it over a decade ago. I think now I'm very appreciative of all the technical ability and all the technical work that went into it. And it's still very enjoyable as a film and as a film experience. I don't think I liked it as much as I did then, but I can really, really appreciate it and know that it's really well made and really well crafted. And I like, it's a very, very good film. And in a year of really good films, it's really good. So I can really appreciate that. It's not going to be like 5 out of 5 stars for me, but it's really fucking good, and I'll give it that.
And I know your answer, but which Aaron Sorkin written movie is your favorite?
Written movie or just Aaron Sorkin?
Well, I know it's going to be The West Wing. More or less, right? Probably.
Yes. Yeah. Movie, it's probably this one. I haven't seen A Few Good Men, which was kind of his first big major one.
A Few Good Men was him?
Yeah, okay. But he also did Being the Ricardos, and I didn't like that movie at all.
Oh, well, okay. That didn't have a lot to work with, period. Plus, you're going to cast Nicole Kidman as someone being funny? I don't know.
He also did Moneyball, remember? And how we felt about that?
I've seen bits and pieces of Charlie Wilson's War, but I don't think I've seen all of it. But it's probably this one.
Hmm.
But of course, show is
That's why I didn't ask. I didn't obviously. Say show because I knew your answer was going to be that.
Just tattooed on my forehead. I'm a West Wing fan. I'm looking at David Fincher's IMDb page because I wanted to think of more movies. I really love Zodiac. And I also know that he directed The Game with Michael Douglas, which is fantastic. I really loved The Game. Seven is also really great.
Seven's and great.
What's in the Box?
It's very intense.
Well, he has one coming out, The Killer with what's his face?
It's out already.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. He did Panic Room.
He did Panic Room, which was great. Affected me a lot when I was younger. I remember watching that for the first time and being like, I think I'm having an anxiety attack while watching this.
That is a very panic-inducing film. That's the
it's panic. In the title.
Yowza.
I wouldn't have taken him as the one to have done The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, but that makes sense.
Right, I was thinking that too.
That makes sense now if I really think about it.
Which, I enjoyed that movie.
That was good. That was good. I was not expecting that.
I don't remember if I liked it or not.
The last minute twist, I was not expecting that.
Now I want to rewatch The Game.
Fight Club was also really good. Fight Club is
good. You say The Game and I want to go, let's play a love game, play a love game. Do you want
love? Are you want fame? Are you in the game?
That's what I hear. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but David Fincher, I'm gonna have to go with Gone Girl.
Also a good movie.
Really good.
Also good. Really
great. Should have been nominated for Best Picture, honestly, that year.
It honestly should. And I think it was nominated for screenplay because it was Gillian Flynn. That screenplay.
Also a well-written movie.
Top tier. Top tier. Man.
Bitch, and I need another movie. A book.
Another
movie?
Another book? Oh, yeah. Oh my God, yes, because I ended up reading Sharp Objects, and that was, wow, even in like book form, that was, especially because I had the visuals to attach to the book. Mm-hmm. Man, that shit was good.
Highly recommended by We Have Thoughts, the show Sharp Objects and the book Sharp Objects.
Yeah.
Top tier entertainment.
Yeah.
God, she wrote that in 06. I didn't realize it was that old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the very end, the last thing that talks about like the ending credit bar thing, it says that like Facebook in this at the time when it came out 2010 has 500 members and 207 countries and is worth 25 billion. So I looked up now what the stats are now. It now has 2.9 billion active members, is worth $794.21 billion. And many countries have, like, temporarily or banned the site at different times for various reasons. But the only countries that have continuously banned it and don't have it at all, I've never had it, are China, Iran, North Korea, Myanmar, Russia, Turkmenistan, and Uganda.
Interesting.
A little factor.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to go into categories?
Sure, we can. Sure.
Okay. So, Best Picture.
Yeah.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Agreed.
Phenomenal film.
Correct. Best Actor, Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Sure.
Convincing enough. I think he was able to keep up with the dialogue, and that's commendable. I don't know if it's his best film he's ever done because I don't remember his other work or enough to know like if it's comparable, but I think he did a good job.
Best director, David Fincher.
Absolutely.
Hundo P.
Also, Netflix bring back Mindhunter.
I think he said recently that's never coming back. Like in an interview. Oh, okay.
I know, but also.
Oh, speaking of Mindhunter, I have a fact about that. Hold on. Sorry, one moment. I know we're going through categories, but I don't want to forget it. So Jonathan Groff almost got the role of Sean Parker. Yeah.
That wasn't great.
And then Shia LaBeouf turned down the role of Mark Zuckerberg, which would have been a completely different movie.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wild. And then Aziz Ansari auditioned for the role of Divya. I didn't get it, obviously. Anyways, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Interesting. Adapted screenplay, Aaron Sorkin. Which it won.
Yeah, correct. I read it recently. It's fantastic. Fantastic.
I bet it's a great read.
Ugh, it is a good read. I'll link it in the show notes. Like,
yes. Please do. Achievement cinematography. Who else was nominated? Because I accidentally closed out of that.
Cinematography was True Grit, Roger Deakins, The King's Speech, Danny Cohen, Black Swan, Matthew Lubatique, and Inception 1, Wally Pfister.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I'm okay with it being in the category. It not winning is fine with me.
Film editing. Yes. And it won film editing.
Yes.
Which it should. Which is okay. Correct.
Yeah.
Who else was nominated?
127 Hours, Black Swan, The Fighter, and The King's Speech.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh, right.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll let it beat out. I'll let it beat out the other ones because this was just really sharp.
I think really it beats them out just because there was so much more to edit, and it was seamless.
Yeah, it was just really. It's really like the score, the editing, the directing, and the screenplay were all so tight and so like perfectly matched for each other. I feel like you can't separate those.
And we love a tight script in this house.
Yeah, we do.
We really do.
Original score, which it won.
Bitch. Oh my god.
Bitch.
Monumental.
I love them. I love them so much.
I know, a fan since I was a child, probably. They also won for Soul, which is, have y'all seen Soul?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It's so good.
I think it's a perfect time to watch it now in the fall because it's New York in the fall. Yeah! And the leaf, like the animation of the leaves on the ground, it looks so homey and beautiful. Everybody watch Soul. The score to that movie is also very good.
Stunning.
Which they also won for that too. Yeah, agreed. I mean, I love Inception very, very much. But Social Network, like, changed the fabric of my brain, the score to this movie. Like, iconic. The beginning of a beautiful, iconic. Love it.
It's one of those that, like, I think it's invaluable to the film. Like, if it didn't have that score, yes, all those other things are so, like, so well done. But it needed to have that piece to be successful.
Yeah.
Like those three things had to be together. It had to be directed by David Fincher. It had to be written by Aaron Sorkin. And it had to have the score in order for it to work.
Yeah. It wouldn't be that it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Everyone understood the assignment. They really did.
Last category, sound mixing. Yes.
Yeah.
For the scene in the club alone, sound mixing, yes.
Yeah. I didn't win, though. Inception won that.
And the parties and fine. Stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
That's fine, but it was still good, and it still deserved to be there.
Agreed, yeah.
My last note is, because who was he talking to in the end? Oh, when he's talking to...
Rashida Jones.
Yeah, I keep wanting to call her...
Anne. That would have been fine. I would have
accepted. I was like, what is Anne doing here? She's supposed to be at nurse. A nurse. She's not a lawyer.
She's supposed to be at nurse.
I mean, Leslie's close by.
Right. Leslie's downstairs waiting for her to pick her
she
up.
She has got a waffle in the wings just waiting.
I really watched Parks and Rec. That show was great.
That show's the best. Where she's like, you're not an asshole, but you're trying so hard to be. I really honestly think that trying to be an asshole is just as bad as being an asshole because it means that you care so much that people perceive you to be an asshole. So that's just as bad. It's not any better. Maybe you're like self-aware. Okay, great. But like, that's still just as bad.
Yeah,
you're
that's still not shitty. A flex.
No, no.
It's not at all. Also, it's exhausting. Like, how I know we talked about before how why they're friends or quote unquote friends with him, but like that I personally could not have a friend like that because that's so exhausting to me. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how they do it. Well, I know why they do it, but I just, it's not worth it to me. I just like, you know what? Be rich. I'll be poor. Bye. I don't want to deal with you no more. Get off of here.
No, for real. For real. It's so much hard work to like pretend to like someone. Like, I don't, maybe when I was younger, I had the bandwidth for it, but I definitely don't anymore. So like,
Years of customer service training would train me for something like that. But as I get older, I'm like, no.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I
can do it if I have to, if I'm paid to, but like, I'm not going to do it in my personal life. In my personal life, I absolutely know. I mean, if anything, that much customer service shows me how shitty people are mm-hmm. and that I don't have to tolerate it in my real life if I don't have to.
Right.
Also, for someone so smart, he even said it. He was like, I should have had my lawyers look it over. I think going into business with family and friends is so tricky.
Yeah.
And there has to be ironclad contracts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of shit like this. Like,
yeah, there's too many emotions involved. Like, you yeah. can't.
To where even if we get into a big fight and we want to dissolve this partnership, we can't do it destructively.
Right.
Yeah. There's too many plates spinning at once for that. And like,
exactly.
Like, when Eduardo said, like, I should have my lawyers look over it, it's because he trusted him.
Yeah.
He trusted Mark to have his back. And
yeah.
Maybe that was his fault. It's not like he just met him. He knew Mark for a while. And Eduardo was just too nice of a guy to be like, oh, he's got me. We're friends. No, it's business, babe. You should know that. No.
Yeah. I trust you guys with my life and my soul. But if this ever became something where money is involved, you better believe we're getting some kind of contract signed and notarized.
Yeah.
Also, here's the thing, though. That would happen because we respect each other. There's no respect between those two.
True.
Right.
They're all looking for them out for themselves. Even Eduardo, like, he kept saying, my dad's going to love this. He's going to be so proud that my name's on the masthead. My dad's not going to be happy. It was all about having to please his father and what it meant, what it looked like.
Yeah.
They didn't have respect for themselves or each other. So
yeah.
Also, I have to remember they're in college. So they're what, like 18, 19, 20 maybe? That's young. That's a very young to go through and make all these big money decisions that like clearly affected their entire lives.
Right.
You know, and also like they're rich kids pretty much. So their choices, they don't have poor brains. They think in money. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
They're not as reasonable because they don't have to be. There's always a safety net.
So I think if us, I think we good because there's respect there. There's, which is very important,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have.
Yeah. That's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah. Also, cause they're men and they're stupid.
Ugh. Men think with their ego. They need a little ego death to get by.
Literally all of this was because he was led by his dick. They created Facebook. The Winklevosses wanted to create it so they could get dates and get women. Because what do women want? They want the harvard.edu. Fuck that shit.
It's exclusive.
It reminds me of exclusive, high-end, like, snake juice.
This shit is so funny. Yeah, it's all the same. They're all the fucking same. Like,
yeah, whether they got money or they got no money, they still don't think.
Also, I'm looking through my notes, but I haven't talked about. I love how Eduardo said fashion, or no, Mark said fashion is never finished. I was like, oh, that's right. I like that sentiment.
That's not. Wow, he had one good thought.
Yeah. And he was like, you're talking about fashion? Okay, hoodie over here.
Okay, bitch.
Mr. Socks with sandals.
No.
Through the snow? Like, those socks are getting wet, you dipshit. Like,
he's going to get pneumonia.
How hard is it? Like, I feel like at that point you're just trying to piss me off. That's what it is.
That's why I'm more tempted to say on the spectrum, because that screams this is the only thing I'm comfortable wearing. I have a texture thing. I feel like the socks were a hard sell at first.
That's a good point.
Like, you cannot wear these in the snow. Your toes will fall off. And he was like, fine, I'll put socks on.
I don't want to be rude to, like, people on the spectrum, but, like, is being on the spectrum an excuse to be an asshole to people?
It's not. No.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay.
Well, I feel like sometimes people that don't know or don't understand the complexities of that might, like...
Yeah.
Might make that generalization, but, like,
that's small-minded,
like,
people would.
Just because, like, it's the same thing. Like, just because you have, like, a physical disability or you have, like, some other incapacity in some other way, like, that's not an excuse for you to, like...
Right.
Rank girls based on their hotness.
Yeah. An asshole's an asshole's an asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's plenty of assholes who are completely able-bodied and able-minded.
Yeah.
And I... Like, hot or not was still a thing a couple years ago.
It was? I didn't know that.
I remember before, I think it was right before TikTok really took off, maybe. I remember people talking about hot or not.
What?
Really?
I never went on it, so I have no idea.
Look, I'm going to confess to a dark time in my life. No, I was not on hot or not.
Oh.
I think early pandemic, I watched a lot of David Dobrik's vlogs in search of entertainment.
Who is that? I'm sorry.
David Dobrik is a YouTuber.
Okay.
Social media person. He had a group of friends that they called themselves the Vlog Squad. And they'd vlogged their lives for a couple of years. Anyway.
That's sushi.
Bunch of rich kids, or bunch of kids making a shit ton of money in LA in their, like, early 20s, just doing a bunch of bullshit. And I remember them talking about hot or not.
Listen, it was pandemic time. It's time for everyone. No judgment, you know? We all thought we were going to die. It's fine. Some of us did die.
And then I discovered D&D, and there was a few steps in between that.
But. It just changed your life forever.
Ooh. Okay, so I have the movie playing in the background. I'll take the cinematography, because when they go for the rowing competition in England or whatever, the way that's shot is really, really good.
Also, their version of... Oh, my God. Sorry, I'm blanking on the name.
Because it's like a super short range focus.
My super short show.
Yes, super short range focus, and it makes it look like little miniatures, and then it's on them and everything else is, like, it's just when they're pulling in and they're pulling focus. Oh, okay, that's what it was. Okay, got it. I get it. I'll take it.
I will say that, hold on, I'm trying to look up the song.
The Mike Super Short Show?
Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross's version of In the Hollow of the Mountain King, which is playing during that rowing scene in England, is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
They changed it just a little bit to make it theirs. They had the little bit that synthesizer on the bottom. And it's phenomenal. Oh, my God. Gushing. I love this movie.
Yeah.
Crystal.
Yes.
Do you have it on in the background as well?
Yeah. I'm at the scene where the president's like, I'm devastated by that. He just said it.
So you're just a little bit ahead of Joy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Because it's after the rowing thing that they decide to fight.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Because they find out it's in England now.
So I listen. There's this podcast called The Rewatchables, and they're just a movie podcast, and they watch movies from before. And they talked about, one of the guys talked about how this movie is all the President's Men of its time, and that it's a movie about something current and it's really important in the moment. And it was made shortly after the event that actually happened, so it feels, you know, and I thought that was a very interesting comparison. I don't know that I agree with it completely, but I get where he's going. I get the train of thought.
My only issue with, I think, movie caliber wise, sure, absolutely, but event wise, not so much.
This wasn't like Watergate, but
fucking each other over, no big deal.
But it's really
government secrets, big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, not caliber, but definitely something current that feels important in the moment. Because Facebook was important in the moment.
Yeah, it was.
Especially like knowing what it becomes, moment. You know, like.
Yeah.
That's very. It's just it's very interesting because that when he made that comment, I was like, huh, okay, I see where we're going with this. And having the fact that we podcast about that, and I know the movie, I was like, oh, okay, being able to understand the comparison.
And this is one of those things that I think, even though it was made not too long after, I don't think it's bad that it was made so soon after the actual events yeah. that unfolded, because it doesn't necessarily affect it in that kind of way. And it, in actuality, like watching it now, it's very interesting how it ends up like you said, it ends up predicting kind of what it ends up becoming. Like, no, we don't want any ads, and now it's just like ad city.
Yeah.
And like, oh yeah, this is just to like rank hot girls, and it was the end of democracy. So like,
yeah, I think what's interesting about it being made so quick, like you said, is that they knew that it was such a game changer in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like Facebook and what it became and what it promotes now, it's very interesting to see the origins of. And I wonder how. I kind of want to talk to like a Gen Zer and have them watch this and be like, "What do you think of this?" Because for us, we were in it basically. I was a teenager when this happened. I was on Facebook when it was good, when it was great at the time. Most kids don't go on Facebook. It's all about TikTok or Instagram or Twitter. Maybe. I don't know. Twitter's so cool. Whatever. So I really want like a Gen Zer to watch this and be like, what do you think about this? How do you look at this movie? What does this feel like to you?
Yeah.
But it's hard to me because it's like a current film for me. Not current, but it's a close film to me because I was that age.
Living it.
Maybe a little bit yeah. younger. Yeah. Because this movie starts in 03. I was in high school. I was a sophomore. No, fall, yeah, junior. I was a junior in high school.
Yeah, so these guys are maybe 5 or so years older than you?
Yeah, so it feels real to me. It feels like, not that I was inventing things or, like, going to Harvard or anything like that, but these could have been my classmates, so it feels like.
Right.
That. So I would want to talk to someone and watch a Gen Z or see this movie and just be like, what do you think about this?
Has Eric seen this movie? Maybe ask Eric.
I don't. No, he has not.
And he would love the score.
Well, he already knows about it because I showed it to him a long years ago. So I'm going to make him watch it because he has not seen this. But I think is he Gen Z?
What he is 99? He might be like on the cusp of it because I'm not.
99 is Gen Z.
Okay. Because I know Ariana, like, she's
97.
Oh, okay. Ariana's 92, so she's technically a millennial as well. But I'm, like, at the top, and she's at the bottom, and then I guess Eric would be the... Anyways, yeah.
So I am a millennial, too.
That's right. We all are.
Same. Yeah, we all.
Any other notes I had. Oh, so during the deposition, he's saying, like, Harvard School that has all these scholars, Olympians, blah, 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 and one movie star. You know who the movie star was?
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman. Yeah, and I was like, oh, my God. We just Black Swan, like the connections are so good.
Yeah, I read that she actually had a dinner for Aaron Sorkin with a bunch of Harvard students so he could like get a feel for what social life was actually like at Harvard.
Oh, I love that.
It's so cool.
I think there's a couple behind the scenes YouTube videos about him interviewing or him talking about the movie. I can't remember if I need to look those up. Also, last thing, there's a website called Information is Beautiful. And it's basically a bunch of, like, infographs about different things. And they have, like, a chart of movies and what's true and what's not. So it goes, like, pretty much scene by scene that says, this is true, this is false, this is fabricated. And so it's really interesting. And they feature actually a lot of movies that we have podcasted about already. But I'll link that so you can look at it. It's really cool. It's they talk about Social Network, and it's really interesting. But, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. All right, rankings.
Okay.
I think I'll go first since I'm ready.
Oh my God. Ooh. Amazing.
Incredible. Okay, so at the bottom we have The Fighter, then 127 Hours, then The Kids Are All Right, The Social Network, Inception, and Black Swan.
Wait, what was your bottom one?
Oh, wow.
Divider.
I paid attention.
I just missed that one. We have the exact same list.
We do.
We do.
I love that.
So number 6 is The Fighter. Number 5 is The Kids All Right. Number 4 is 127 Hours. Number 3 is Inception. And 1 and 2, it's going to depend on the day. But currently, right now, in this moment, Black Swan is 2 and Social Network is 1.
Dang.
But ask me tomorrow and it'll be Black Swan is 1 and Social Network is 2.
Yeah.
It's really going to change the game. And then next week's going to probably change it again. probably, yeah. So I am stressed when I think about this list because those top two are so good. Two of my faves. Yeah, I can't recommend this movie enough. It's so good.
Fan. It is. It is very good. It is getting schooled in film.
Ugh, yeah. I wonder if film students watch this movie, like in school.
Oh, I'm sure.
Probably.
That'd be interesting. Oh, and your girlfriend's so cute.
You're so cute.
What a guy. He's so cute. So, yeah, that's our episode, right? Any last things?
The Social Network. Tweet at us. Find us on Instagram. We're not on Facebook.
You, no. I think we actually are, but, like, nothing's ever posted there.
Yeah, I don't think it automatically posts anymore, so I think we're good. We're clear.
I don't think it ever did. I couldn't... There's not... On Audio Boom, there's not a thing to set up Facebook, I don't think. Or maybe there is. I actually don't know.
No, I know that Instagram gives you the option because obviously they're together, but I don't think I've ever done it when I posted, so.
Do we be on Threads? Because how long is Twitter going to last?
Girl.
We are on Facebook. I have no memory of making this.
Me neither. And he automatically did it when we uploaded posts on Instagram. I think that's what it was.
I don't know. But there's nothing on it, right? No posts at all?
There might be some from the Instagram that
we have followers on Facebook.
The last post was September 29th of 2022. For Amour.
Oh,
no.
Maybe it was linked. No, that doesn't make sense.
I don't know either. Oh, you know what else they didn't discuss in this movie? I just remembered. Why the function of poking other people was a thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
I think it's still there.
Again, I don't know. I'm not on Facebook. I have no idea. But that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it for us this week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.